Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you for listening to the Qalam podcast. My name is Abdul Nasser Jangda, and I'm excited to announce a new learning opportunity from the comfort of your home. Here at Qalam, we strive to create opportunities for people all around the world from all walks of life to learn about Islam. One amazing program that is a part of this mission is the Seerah Intensive, an in-depth study of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seerah Intensive is a one-of-a-kind immersive learning experience for the entire family. You receive access to great teachers, develop lifelong friendships with students of knowledge from all around the world, benefit from countless invaluable lessons, and at the end of the day, walk away with a newfound love for the best human being to ever walk this earth, bidnillahi ta'ala. This year, the Seerah Intensive will be offered exclusively online. All recordings and class materials will be provided for lifetime access for you to continue and revisit at your own pace. We will also be offering Seerah Intensive online for kids. For more information, please visit QalamIntensives.com. We hope to see you this winter to learn about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us. Thank you, and enjoy the podcast. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Qur'an, where we study the meaning of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, insha'Allah, we hope to cover ayat 148 through 150. 148, 149, and 150. Insha'Allah, bidnillah, from Surah al-Baqarah. So, as we always do, I'll begin with the recitation of the verses, insha'Allah. After that, I'll read from a translation of the Qur'an. And then, thirdly, insha'Allah, we will get into a more in-depth discussion about the meaning of the verses, and we'll talk about the lessons, the wisdom that we can take from these particular ayat of the Qur'an, insha'Allah. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ولكل وجهة هو موليها فاستبقوا الخيرات أينما تكونوا يأتي بكم الله جميعا إن الله على كل شيء قدير ومن حيث خرجت فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وإنه للحق من ربك وما الله بغافل عما تعملون ومن حيث خرجت فول وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وحيث ما كنتم فولوا وجوهكم شطره لئلا يكون للناس عليكم حجة إلا الذين ظلموا منهم فلا تخشوهم واخشوني وَلِأُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ So, a translator of the Qur'an, he writes, each community has its own direction to which it turns. Race to good deeds, and wherever you are, God will bring you together. God has the power to do everything. Verse 149, O Prophet, wherever you may have started out, turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. This is the truth from your Lord. He is not unaware of what you do. In verse 150, wherever you may have started out, turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Wherever any of you may be, turn your faces towards it, so that people may have no argument against you, except
for the wrongdoers among them. Do not fear them. Fear me, and so that I may perfect my favor upon you, and you may be rightly guided. So that's the translation of the verses 148 through 150. Now we'll proceed towards the discussion of the verses themselves, the tafsir of the ayat. So in going through the tafsir of the ayat, we will approach it as we always do in these sessions, where number one, we'll go through the ayat, the verses themselves, word for word, to make sure that we understand exactly what the verses are saying. Secondly, the first thing that we'll do is we'll talk about the background of the verses, how they're connected to the passage in which they occur, which is pretty obvious in this case and in this instance. Nonetheless, we'll review that very quickly. Number two, then we'll go through it word for word to make sure that we understand exactly what the verses are saying. And then thirdly, we'll talk about any kind of lessons and reflections and wisdom and rulings that we can extract and extrapolate from these verses. So when it comes to the verses themselves, these verses are a continuation of the previous passage. They are part of the passage that we've been studying now for a number of sessions that deals in its entirety, it deals with the turning of the direction of the prayer, what's referred to in the Arabic language, referred to here in the Quran as Qibla, the direction that we face in while we are praying. So we've talked about this numerous times. You can go back and listen to the previous sessions, that there are a couple of different theories amongst the Muslim scholars, but the predominant theory is, and the predominant understanding is, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, when he was first given the prayer, he was first instructed to pray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah to pray in the direction of Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, Masjid Aqsa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to do so until we had the mandate of the five times daily prayer after Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the journey by night to Jerusalem and the ascension above the heavens, and the direction of the prayer remained the same. Now, due to the fact and the privilege of being in Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it provided a strategic opportunity. He would oftentimes pray in such a direction to the from south of the Kaaba, to that way he would be facing both in the direction of the Kaaba and Masjid Aqsa. He would align both of them together and pray in that direction. Once the Prophet ﷺ performed the hijrah, migrated to Medina, that was no longer possible. Masjid Aqsa's Qibla was to the north, and Kaaba, al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca, was to the south. So he could no longer pray towards both directions at the same time. And at that time, for 16 to 17 months, almost a year and a half, as narrated by Bara ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims continued to pray towards Masjid Aqsa, to the north of Medina. And that continued, as we said, to 16 to 17 months. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Now turn and make the direction of the prayer, al-Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque which houses the Kaaba in Mecca, the noble city of Mecca. And that's when the direction of the prayer turned and changed, and that led to this entire, the revelation of this passage, because it was addressing not only the turning of the direction of the prayer, but was also addressing a lot of the conversations and discussions and the objections and refutations that were coming the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims as a consequence of them changing the direction, or Allah commanding them to change the direction of the prayer. This was objected to by the hypocrites, by the Jewish community, by the idol-worshipping people of Mecca. This was objected to, and they tried to criticize the Prophet ﷺ, they tried to criticize Islam, they tried to criticize the Muslims due to this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided a very thorough response here in these verses, all the way from verse number 144, now here till verse number, we'll be concluding with 150. So that is the background and the context of the passage of the verses that we are studying today. Now let's go ahead and take a look at the actual wording of the ayah. So to begin with, verse number, ayah number 148. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِكُلِّ وَجَهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. This is a very fascinating, construction of language here. Very eloquent, very powerful, very succinct and concise, but jam-packed with a lot of meaning. It's very eloquent. Allah says, وَلِكُلِّن, meaning it implies for every group of people, وِجْهَةٌ, there is a direction that they turn towards, هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا, and they are very dedicated to it. They are committed to it. All right? And they commit themselves in a very dedicated manner and fashion to facing that direction in their prayer, in their worship, which is the most, powerful expression of one's religious devotion, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no more powerful gesture, there is no more powerful action, there is no more powerful symbol that represents devotion and dedication than worship, ibadah. So Allah is saying that for every group of people, there is a particular direction that they are committed to, that they exercise their worship through. And now what that implies is that it is true, maybe the Jewish community is objecting to you, to the direction of prayer changing for the Prophet ﷺ and for the Muslims, because they pray in the direction of Jerusalem, the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall. And so they find it objectionable that you've changed your direction of prayer. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they have a particular direction based off of their understanding, their orientation, their ideology, their belief system, which of course, obviously, we do not agree with. But the logic here is that they have a set of beliefs and they have a direction of their worship and prayer. They have a way that they go about their worship, and that includes the direction they face. For the Christians, it's the same. For even the idol worshippers, they worship their idols. They have their own understanding and orientation. But you are Muslims, believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adherents of the Quran and the prophetic way and the prophetic tradition, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadiyun nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is who you are. So you, through the revelation and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the example set by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a direction of prayer that has been divinely inspired and instructed to you. And that is what you need to be committed to as well. You need not be, and this is going to be addressed some more, but essentially what it's implying is you don't need to pay attention to the criticisms. You don't need to worry about, well, what if they're upset and what if they don't agree, and wouldn't it be better if we were all on the same page in regards to this? No, because that worship and the direction in which you face while worshiping is all dictated by actually what you believe. And what you believe is different. And they're doing their thing and you do your thing, which is what Allah has commanded you to do. So after saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers and the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So all of you, addressing the believers, strive, race, rush, hasten. Istibaq refers to run towards something, to race towards something, to hasten in doing something. Al-khayrat. Al-khayrat is, it represents and it means good things. Good things. And that represents the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-ta'at. the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acts of devotion, acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you strive in doing good. Strive in doing good. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا Wherever you all may be, يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا Allah will gather all of you together all at once. And this is of course referencing the Day of Judgment. That it doesn't matter where you are, what time you are in, what society you are in, what situation you are in, there's one thing that you can bank on. And that is this life will end, the life of the hereafter will occur, the Day of Judgment will happen, and we will all be reckoned and gathered in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will have to answer for how we lived this life. And for anyone who is skeptical of that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Most definitely Allah is fully capable, has always been, is and will always be fully capable of anything and everything. So in this very first ayah, there's a very fascinating thing that is said. First of all, the believers are being instructed that look, they all have their own belief system and they're practicing their belief system. You do not need to be influenced by that. You do not need to be intimidated by that. You should not be affected by that. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ You need to strive in doing good. That's what Allah has asked of you. Allah has not asked you to negotiate and manage, you know, what everyone else is doing. Allah, yes, of course, you invite them to good. You explain them what is right and wrong, what is true and what is not. But ultimately, you have been commanded to do good. So strive in doing your good. That if I'm so busy debating someone else, if I'm so busy politicking with someone else, negotiating with other people, that I do not pray, then I've missed the point completely. So فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember at the end of the day, everyone has to answer to Allah. So concern yourself with that. Having to stand before Allah and answer before Allah and to be reckoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse number 149, Allah says, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ And so this is in the singular form, second person, singular form, which we've talked about a number of times. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says that wherever you may exit out from, and we'll talk about exactly more so what that means, but wherever you may exit out from, meaning if, even if you're not in the masjid, Masjid al-Haram, you're not in the sacred mosque in Mecca, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ Still turn your face in the general direction of the sacred mosque. And we talked about the meaning of these words in the previous sessions. So face in the general direction of the sacred mosque. So if you're not inside the sacred mosque, which we talked about in a previous session, you've got to face directly towards the Kaaba itself. But you are outside the sacred mosque, you're in the vicinity, you're in the city of Mecca or in the vicinity of the city of Mecca, you're in that general territory of Mecca and its surrounding areas. Now, the obligation, the mandate, the instruction is when it's time to pray, turn your face in the general direction of the sacred mosque. It's a more broader direction for obvious reason. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ And certainly, and what's implied here is, and know, believe, have conviction, have zero doubt about the fact, إِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ That it indeed is the truth from your Lord. This is the truth from Allah. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ And God is not unaware at all of what you do. God is not unaware of what you do. He completely and totally knows exactly everything that you are doing. And again, same message that was there in the previous verse, accountability to Allah. Worry about Allah. Don't worry about all these other people and what they say and what they don't say and what they do and what they don't do and how they react or how they don't react. Don't. Again, do the right thing. Present the message, share the message, of course, properly and appropriately. However, after a certain point, Do not be distracted. Do not be deluded. Do not be intimidated. Do not be obsessed with them. But remember to have focus, that it is Allah that you answer to. Just like in the previous verse, Allah said, Allah will gather all of you together on the Day of Judgment. Now Allah is saying, Allah is completely aware of everything it is that you do. So be mindful of that. وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. And wherever then you go out to, this is now further building on top of that previous idea, so if you are traveling, you left Mecca, you left the outskirts of Mecca, the vicinity of Mecca, the awali of Mecca, you've left there, you've departed from there, you're further out now, you're traveling somewhere, you're between Mecca and Medina. So now that you're traveling, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Verse 150. Now once again Allah says, still when it's time to pray, wherever you may be, whatever circumstance you may be in, you're on a hill, you're in a valley, you stop by the side of the road, wherever it is. Now once again it's time for prayer, so turn and pray in the direction of, face in the direction, the general direction, Shatr al-Masjid al-Haram, the general direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. And now obviously, very logically, the scope is going to be even broader and even wider. Once again, for obvious reason, you're further away. وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطَرًا. And wherever you may find yourself, so now if you find yourself ultimately in some other city, you've arrived at your destination, you're in Medina, you're in Khaybar, you're in Tabuk, wherever you may be. فَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرًا. And some also say that this means, وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ, what this implies is, whatever situation, circumstance you may find yourself in, then, you know, whether you are in, you know, it's nighttime or daytime, you are healthy or you're not well, you might be in the cold, you might be in the heat, whatever situation, you might be in a tent, you might be indoors, you might be outdoors, outside, whatever circumstance you're in, you turn and face and pray in the general direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca, Shatara. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why is that? Why so? لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ. So that the people will not have against you and upon you any kind of argument. The people will not have an argument against you. Now what's meant here? Typically the word hujjah means evidence and proof, but linguistically it can also mean argument. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ash-Shura, Surah number 42, Ayah 16, حُجَّتُهُمْ دَاحِضَةٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. Their argument is faulty before their Lord. In another, in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, Ayah 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. That person is coming and arguing with you even though you have the knowledge. So the person's obviously wrong. But Allah calls even the argument of the wrong person that is that person's hujjah. That is that person's argument. So Allah is saying here that remain from this point on, follow the command of Allah, remain consistent with what Allah has commanded, in spite of whatever kind of lobbying or petitioning or bullying or criticizing that the other communities or the other people might engage in, you remain committed to the command of Allah. Because that will actually make, that will give you firm feet to stand on against the arguments of the people against you. Because right now they'll object. And they're objecting because they have a bias or they have a prejudice or they don't want to acknowledge the truth. But if you waffle, if you allow yourself to be deterred, if you allow yourself to be dissuaded from what is right and what is correct, then what's going to happen? Now you've actually opened yourself up for some real criticism. Because now you blew with the wind wherever the wind went. So remain fixed and remain committed and remain steadfast. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ so that they have no argument against you. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ There are still those very wrongdoing or evil people amongst them, oppressive people amongst them, stubborn and ignorant people amongst them, who will still criticize you. You can do everything right and they'll still always be critical of you. You can't bother yourself with those people. You can't be bothered by those people. Leave them be. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so do not fear them. Don't worry about them, don't fear them, don't be intimidated by them. Fear me. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worry about having to stand and answering to Allah. Worry about the reckoning in front of Allah. Because now this is, somebody might feel like that's a very heavy, harsh statement. Don't worry about them, don't fear them, don't be intimidated by them. Fear me, Allah says. That sounds kind of heavy. But why? Think about and understand why something so heavy is being said here. Because if I know that Allah has commanded me to do this, this is how the Prophet ﷺ taught me and showed me to do this, and I still do it another way. Why? Because doing it the other way might be more palatable and acceptable to the people. Then think about how disrespectful that is in front of Allah. Think about how dismissive that is to Allah. So Allah does say, fear me. Because you will have to answer. And so it's very real. It might be a little bit harsh, but sometimes we need that wake-up call. I need to understand, right? Yes, it's not the only mode of motivation. But sometimes if I am not doing my job, all the different motivational and inspirational and incentivizing, all the motivation, the inspiration, the incentivizing, all of it's not working, I'm still not doing my job, then at some point, knowing that, listen, if you do not do your job, then you're going to be let go, you're going to be fired. You'll no longer have a job. And that sounds a bit harsh in the moment. You know, you feel kind of taken aback by that. The blood rushes up to your face and your head. Right? You feel a mixture of embarrassed and infuriated and all of those things. But ultimately, you realize that fear settles in, that I'm basically ruining this opportunity. I'm doing this to myself. And what happens? Sometimes it's just that wake-up call, right? Getting rattled, getting shaken. It's that wake-up call that just somebody needs. And so that's فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي Allah says. And then Allah says وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ And so that I... Allah says, so that He, Allah, so that I may complete my favor upon you. Allah is saying, so that He may fulfill His favor and His blessing upon us. And what does this refer to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah number 5, ayah number 3, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي That today I have fulfilled, I have completed your religion for you, and I have fulfilled my blessing upon you. That this religion, this deen, the ability to know who Allah is, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the greatest blessing that any of us possess. It's the greatest blessing that we have. And so that's what it's talking about here, that's what it's referring to. And what's really beautiful, in a hadith narrated by Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as reported in the books of Ahmad and Tirmidhi and the Musnad of Al-Bazzar, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Tamamun ni'mati dukhulul jannah." The ultimate fulfillment of blessing is to enter into paradise. Entering paradise is the ultimate blessing. Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, "Tamamun ni'mati al-mawtu 'ala al-Islam." The fulfillment of God's blessing upon a person is for a person to depart, to leave this world in a state, in a condition of submission to Allah upon Islam, with their iman, with their faith, with their belief in Allah intact, with their Islam being sound. That is the ultimate blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a good end, husnul khatima, to be able to leave this world with our heart full of iman and connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and so that you all may be guided. So that you all may be rightly guided. You may find the way. So this is kind of a breakdown of the just the language, the words within the ayat, to make sure that we understand and that we comprehend and that we are able to properly read through the ayat and understand exactly what Allah is saying. So now let's talk about some of the lessons and some of the things that we can take from here. And there are definitely some really amazing things. So there was the first thing was وَلِكُلِّ وَجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. This idea that everybody has a particular direction that they turn in. And I was talking about that, how everybody, based off of their beliefs, right or wrong, they have a particular orientation, they have a particular commitment and devotion. And this is something Allah says other places in the Quran as well. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, ayah number 48, Allah says, وَلِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. That everyone, we have made for different people, different codes of law and different orientations and directions. And this is speaking about it, you know, even historically, that different prophets had different legislation and laws that they came with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also saying that you even see it in the world right now. Different people have their own different ideologies and methodologies and religion and understanding and spirituality, approach to spirituality. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. And if Allah wanted to, He could have made everyone the same. وَلَكِنْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us this way, to see whether we remain committed to the truth or are so easily distracted, so easily deluded, impressed, intimidated. Whatever someone's dynamic may be, whatever the issue may be, but are we able to remain dedicated and committed and steadfast? And once again there in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So at some point, stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. Yes, give them the truth, give them the message. And at some point, understand your job is not to manage them. لَسْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. And concern yourself with standing before Allah and strive, race, rush, hasten in doing good. إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ جَمِيعًا. To Allah alone do all of you have to return. You see the same emphasis there as we saw it here. In Surah Al-Hajj, in Surah 22, Ayah 67, Allah says, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا مَنْسَكًا. Every group of people had a different way of expressing their devotion, dedication. And the point of that is not some kind of weird perennialist kind of argument. No, the point of it is that do what Allah has told you to do. Do what Allah is commanding you to do. And stop worrying about everybody else and everything else. And what about this and what about that? And what if this and what if that? No. You have the Quran in front of you. You have the life of the Prophet ﷺ in front of you, the prophetic tradition. Follow that. Remain committed to that. That was one particular thing. The second thing that I wanted to highlight here, that I wanted to specifically and particularly talk about, is that There's a fascinating element in these particular verses and ayat, and that is the fact that we've seen it multiple times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues the command of turn and face in the direction of the Kaaba. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. We see it twice here. We first see it in, the plural form, but we see it twice here. We saw it in verse number 149, and then we see it in verse number 150. We saw it once before in verse number 144. So why this repetition? Why is the same phrase, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, why does that phrase repeat itself numerous times? Why does it occur multiple times? That's a question. So verse number 144, and then as we talked about today, verse number 149, and then verse number 150, the same exact phrase, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطَرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, occurs three times. So again, someone in their simple-mindedness or short-sightedness, they might say, well, this is redundant. Saying the same thing over and over again. It's redundant. So the answer is no. The answer is no. It is not redundancy, rather it is repetition. It is not redundancy, rather it is repetition. Somebody might say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that in repetition, there is a purpose to saying the same thing over and over again. In redundancy, there's no purpose. It's like how we speak a lot of times, where we might say the same thing over and over again without really any particular benefit. It might be a little, you know, kind of a weird habit someone has. It might be kind of a flaw in the way that they speak and present. It might be that they need some time to kind of process what they're going to say next, so they repeat themselves, etc. But repetition has a purpose. And so what exactly is the purpose of repetition here? So there's a few different things that the scholars have highlighted, some of the wisdom. These are reflections. That it's possible somebody thinks of something else. It's possible that some of these reflections do not resonate with you. But these are some of the reflections that scholars have shared. So many of the scholars of the Qur'an, Mufassirun, they have stated that the objective of the repetition is emphasis, to highlight its significance. Why? Because this was a major issue. First of all, this is the first instance in Islamic history for this new ummah, all these people that are so new to Islam, this is the first time that something called nasakh, abrogation, which we spoke about a few sessions ago, this is the first time that it is occurring. Where Allah had given them one instruction, now Allah is changing the instruction based off of His infinite wisdom. So Allah is giving them a different instruction. It's the first time it's happening. So it's probably taking some time for everyone to get acclimated to, for everyone to really understand what's going on. So it's not said once, not twice, but thrice, emphasizing it. Also, what factors into emphasizing it and stressing its significance and importance is the repercussions of it. This is not just some subtle change in an act of worship, where first, let's say that we were commanded to read, it's an example, a hypothetical, for example, if we were first commanded to read this surah in every raka'ah, and then now it's being changed to a different surah. For example, hypothetically speaking, if that was the case, that's a very kind of insular thing, that's something that's very internal. Somebody who's not even Muslim doesn't really even understand, you know, what you're reading, how you're reading it, from where you're reading, etc. But the direction that you face in while you're praying is very visible. And because you used to share direction with another religious community, so now when you turn the direction, they're obviously going to object. And they're going to have an issue and a problem with it. And then the direction that you're going to start turning to now is facing in the direction of a sacred place that actually is controlled by the people who oppress you. and are your sworn enemies, the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers of Mecca. So now it's creating a whole kind of dialogue and a discussion over there. What's going on here? And some of the Meccans, like the Quran says, لَلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, those who are just evil and bad, they're going to continue to say nonsense about you. And they did. Some of the Meccans said, oh look, they smartened up. They started worshipping in this direction, towards Mecca again. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time until this fad, this phase passes of Islam, and then they'll come back to Mecca and they'll rejoin our idol worshipping ways. So you had this kind of rhetoric. And so to stress the importance of it, to emphasize the significance of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated it multiple times to remind the believers that this is the command of Allah. It is going to be a little bit difficult. It is going to come with consequences, but you must remain committed. You must not allow yourself to be shaken. So that's one explanation for the repetition of the phrase three times in this passage, 144, 149, and 150. There's another explanation that is provided by Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah ta'ala, and many other commentators of the Quran, Mufassirun, have quoted him and have also borrowed this reflection. Imam al-Qurtubi says, the first time Allah says, فَوَلِّ وَجَهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, Allah is explaining, what do you do when you're in Mecca? When you're in Mecca, face in the direction of the Kaaba in Masjid al-Haram. So he's addressing, so meaning each time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues his command, he's addressing a different audience. So in the first command, he's addressing those who are in Mecca itself. Secondly, he's addressing those who might be in any other city aside from Mecca, whether they're in Medina, or they're in Damascus, or they're in Cairo, or in Basra, or Kufa, or Dallas, Texas, wherever they are. And then thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing those who are traveling, who are not actually situated somewhere right now. They are traveling, they are in transit, that even when you are in transit, you still pray in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. And that's the explanation of Imam al-Qurtubi. Imam al-Razi, Fakhruddin al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir, he says that the first command is addressing the one who is inside the sacred mosque and can see the physical structure of the Kaaba. Then secondly, Allah is addressing those who are in the area or the vicinity of Mecca, the city of Mecca. They're outside the sacred mosque, but still in Mecca, in the haram territory, as we say. And the third one is speaking to anyone who's outside and beyond Mecca. Once again, Medina or anywhere else that someone may be. So they say there's this wisdom. And then there's one particular reflection that is very insightful, very interesting. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and many others, they state this as well. And they say that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this passage talks about three dynamics that played out in this command from Allah to turn the direction of the prayer towards the sacred mosque in Mecca from Jerusalem. There are three elements or three things that played out. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it three times to accompany each one of those three explanations. The first one was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِهَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, addressing the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam longed and he hoped for, he prayed to Allah for the direction of the prayer to be turned from Jerusalem to Mecca. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, providing that explanation, saying Allah has answered your prayer, turn your face while praying in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca. Secondly, when Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لَلْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why are we changing your direction? Why are we changing the direction of prayer? Because this is the truth from your Lord. This is the command of God. This is what Allah is telling you to do. That's why. It's an issue of obedience. It's a matter of compliance. It's an issue of devotion, dedication, commitment to do what Allah said, when He said it, how He said it, where He said it, to do what Allah said. And the third time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ حُجَّةٌ. Right? So that these folks do not have the turn and pray in this direction from here on out, so that these other people do not have the ability to criticize you and argue with. Not criticize, they'll still criticize, but just so that you do not give them an argument against you. Do not equip them with the argument. Show commitment and dedication and consistency. Do not waver. And that's why Allah reiterates the command the third time, is to say, remain steadfast. Because as we talked about, the munafiqun said, what's the deal with the ruling changing? And if the ruling switched or changed again, like, or rather you started to waffle and you started to reconsider things, and they'll say, look, you don't know what you're doing. The Jewish community is criticizing, why'd you turn away from our direction? Now if you go back, they'll say, see, you don't really have a leg to stand on. You don't have anything that you are practicing. We bullied you a little bit and you got right back on board, on track. You jumped right back on the bandwagon. The Meccans are saying all this nonsense of, well, it's only a matter of time till they leave their religion and they come back to us. But if you remain consistent, it's going to shut them up. They're going to say, well, I thought you said they're coming back. Doesn't seem like they are coming back at all. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates it a third time. And so in that we see the eloquence of the Qur'an, the power of the Qur'an, and how nuanced and layered and deep the Qur'an is. And the final point that I wanted to make from these ayat that we've studied here today is that this entire section, this entire passage, and even including today's study, has really been that the Prophet ﷺ was first praying in the direction of Jerusalem. He'd never decided to do that. Meaning, this was not some arbitrary, decision. This was not some political maneuver. This was not some socially influenced strategy. It was the command of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ was born in Mecca, raised in Mecca. He is from the lineage of Ibrahim and Ismail, who raised the foundations of the Kaaba, as we talked about. It would have made all the sense in the world, the logical thing for the Prophet ﷺ to do, the logical thing for him to do, if he was making his own decision, just purely based off of reason and logic, and what suited him and his circumstances, would have been to pray in the direction of the Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque in Mecca. But he prayed in the direction of Masjid al-Aqsa. Why? Now we can discuss a lot about the wisdom, well, it allowed the Muslims to kind of separate from and differentiate from the idol worship in Mecca and associate themselves more with the revealed traditions of the prophets of the past and align them a little bit more with the Ahlul Kitab, being that they still believed in prophets and revelation and tradition and life of the hereafter, etc., etc., rather than the idol worshippers of Mecca. And those are all very good and valid points. But we're missing something. He prayed in the direction of Jerusalem because Allah told him to do so. And when he went to Medina, for almost a year and a half, when he could no longer align both the Kaaba and Masjid Al-Aqsa, he prayed only and solely towards Masjid Al-Aqsa, because that's what Allah ordered and commanded him to do. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, turn, فَوَلِّ وَجَهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, now turn and face in the direction of the sacred mosque in Mecca, then he did that. And once again, look at it. It was not very politically and socially advantageous. Their neighbors are the Jewish community. And the Jewish community is now up in arms. And they're arguing and debating and criticizing. The munafiqun, the hypocrites, are making trouble within the community by saying that, you know, one day he tells us to do this and the next day he tells us to do that. Even though they weren't successful in causing trouble, but still, they're trying to stir the pot. The people of Mecca, the idol worshippers in Mecca are saying, ah, see, it was only a matter of time. Slowly getting back to where he needs to be. They're slowly getting back on board. See, we told y'all, this was a fad. This was a phase. They're working it out of their system now. And again, that rhetoric was not true, and it didn't have any effect on the process of some of the Muslims. But it's still not fun to hear that. It's still not ideal to, you know, for the opponent, the opposition, to have the opportunity to say that. But the Prophet ﷺ, in spite of all of this, turned the direction and started praying towards Mecca immediately. Once again, we can talk about the wisdom of that. It's the completion of the legacy of Ibrahim. It's fulfilling the task in the dua of Ibrahim, alayhi salam. Etc., etc. We can say all that, and that all is valid. But once again, there's something we're missing at the core of it. That at the core of it is, فَهُوَ مُطِيعٌ لِلَّهِ فِي جَمِيعِ أَحْوَالِهِ لَا يَخْرُجُ عَنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ وَأُمَّتُهُ تَبْعٌ لَهُ. The part that we have to note is that the Prophet ﷺ was in absolute total obedience to Allah in all situations and circumstances. Whether it seemed politically or socially strategic or advantageous or not, his only concern was the obedience of Allah. He would not come out from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for even the blink of an eye. And his ummah would follow him with loyalty and commitment and dedication. And that is at the core of it. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتِي. As the Prophet ﷺ said, تَمَامُ نِعْمَتِي دُخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Ali ibn Abi Talib said, تَمَامُ نِعْمَتِي الْمَوْتُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. That the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to leave this world with our Islam intact. The Prophet ﷺ said, the completion of the blessing of Allah is to enter paradise. But that's not just something that we can just kind of gamble on. But that's something that we have to work towards. And we have to prove ourselves worthy of that. And that is proven through the obedience. And the devotion and the dedication and the commitment. And that is at the core of this entire passage. And with that, inshallah, we'll conclude here with ayah number 150, verse number 150, and inshallah we'll proceed from here in the coming sessions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that we've said and heard. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Real quickly, I wanted to make a quick announcement. We've been announcing it for a number of days now. But nonetheless, I just thought that I would give everyone a heads up because people are probably starting to think about, you know, the days off that are coming, whether it be from school or work or whatever the case may be. Alhamdulillah, Qalam for 7-8 years now, every winter break, end of December, we conduct a really beneficial program called the Seerah Intensive, where we go through a very meticulous study of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Very reflective, and alhamdulillah, a lot of work has been put into it, really beneficial. So this year, obviously, with the circumstances with the pandemic, we're not able to do it the way we typically do, but we still wanted to proceed forward and make sure that we did have the program in some way, shape, or form or another. So alhamdulillah, the awesome and amazing team at Qalam was able to put together a really great program. And inshallah, we are going to be bringing the Seerah Intensive to everyone online, inshallah. So we're really excited, we're really happy about it. It's a very unique opportunity for a lot of people to be able to benefit from a program that typically, that has never been offered online by us. So if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, I'm sharing the screen so you're able to, inshallah, hopefully see it. So take a look at it, inshallah. We have a program for adults, Seerah Intensive online, and we even have a Seerah Intensive online for kids. all of our instructors and many of our seminary graduates and seminary students are all involved with this program. It's a very organized and academic program. You'll learn a lot, you'll enjoy it a lot, inshallah. It's very practical. There's a very great, there's an awesome portal that has been put together by the team. So even if you're not able to make the live session, you're able to catch up with recordings and go back and watch them and view them again. There's reading materials and quizzes and a whole lot of stuff. Alhamdulillah. Reading materials, quizzes, a whole bunch of stuff that comes with the program, inshallah. So please do check it out. If you're watching on Instagram, I've shared the link there. So inshallah, visit the link and check it out. And if you're listening to the podcast, go to qalamintensives.com and inshallah, check out the program. And I hope and pray, inshallah, you'll find it beneficial. With that, I'm going to go ahead and conclude, inshallah, the session for today. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.